Holy Father, we lift to you our hands. We surrender, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. We repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. We repent in every area, Lord, of touching unclean things, works of the flesh. We repent, Lord, for rebellion, selfishness, and greed. We repent in any area that we've done something without your acknowledgement in word, thought, or deed. Wash us with the blood, Master. Wash us with the stripes of Jesus. Wash us with your name and your anointing. Wash us afresh and fill us afresh, that we may be one with you. Draw us unto you, Master. Hide us in the secret place and feed us tonight from your throne room. Open our eyes that we may see you, our ears that we may hear you, and our hearts to receive. Breaking every hardened heart tonight, Lord. Healing every one that's been bound by sickness, disease, or infirmity, worry, stress, and torment. I rebuke every sickness, disease, and infirmity. I send your word to each and every one that by the stripes of Jesus they be healed, made whole, positioned, and established for your glory. In Jesus' name. And how's everybody tonight? Blessed and highly flavored. Amen. You know, there's so many things that are going on in the spirit right now, and we're seeing so many things that are happening in the natural. And in this wave that God is moving in that we've talked about, there's so much stirring up. And I want to go to an area in the book of Revelation. Oh, hallelujah. And let's go to... Oh, yeah. The whole book. No. Let's go to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Is everybody there? And verse 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true." And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. How many of y'all know that God tells you things to come? "Behold, I am coming quickly, and blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of this prophecy of this book, for the time is yet at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs, sorcerers, and sexual immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come,' and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. And if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. And in this prophecy and this fulfillment that God is doing right now, it's associated with the river of life. Jesus was known as the way, truth, and life, and he was also a representation of the tree of life. And the Bible tells us also that out of our bellies, out of our inner being, will flow the river of what? Life. In other words, we're river people. And it's in the river where we survive and live. That's where we get our life from. Why? Because in symbolically, in the natural realm, man cannot live without water. Now, man can live without bread for a period of time, but he cannot live without water. That's why the Spirit gives life and the letter kills. Has everybody got it? So we see here that we are river people, and in this we want to always stay in the river of life, and that's by staying filled with the Spirit of the living God, so that the Lord can continue to speak to us in the areas of things of the spirit realm, so that we can see what he wants us to see, hear what he wants us to hear, and receive what he wants us to receive. But it has to be done in the Spirit. So understanding this, that's why worship is so essential in our life, so that you and I can constantly stay in the Spirit. In fact, we know that in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20, it talks about a war that was getting ready to come against King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. And there was armies strategically placed all around him. And in this placement, the armies physically could kill and destroy the king in Judah. And the king didn't know what to do, but the only thing he knew what to do was to go look up and not at what he saw naturally. So he gathered everybody together and he proclaimed a fast. And they began to seek the Lord and they cried out to God because they reverenced him and feared him. Reverence, honor, and respect. And the Lord sent word to King Jehoshaphat. The Spirit of the Lord came on an individual that was there. And he spoke to him and he said, listen, there's something you're going to need to do. You're going to need to position yourself. You're going to need to what? Position yourself. And he shared with them that you're going to need to get, you know, a band together and get your eyes off of the things naturally and get your eyes on the things spiritually. And you're going to have to do some spiritual battle. Now see, we are in the army of the Lord. And in the army of the Lord, your fight and my fight is not physical, it is spiritual. And in this, so what had happened was, they began to praise and worship the Lord. And they went out before the army, the natural army. And what had happened was God ambushed their enemies, so that their enemies ended up killing one another. And by the time the army of the Lord got there, Judah and Jehoshaphat, they were there 3 days taking spoil and everything because they were being blessed. Does everybody understand this? Now, right now, I want you to understand that there is a mobilization of Satan's forces. And it's almost like they're all around. Hello. There's a mobilization of Satan's forces. His army is mobilizing. I mean, strategically in all kinds of areas. And what's happening is they're now being exposed more and more and more. Things that are happening now would blow your mind away compared to how things used to be. My wife brought a video home for my daughter to watch, and it was an old comedian named Red Skelton. And, you know, he always did these wonderful skits. I remember watching him as a kid. And so she was watching it, and he's quoting scriptures on TV. Okay, I mean, this is how it used to be. They were quoting scriptures and so forth. You know, you could turn TV on, and you'd have all kinds of godly programs, you know, you wouldn't see things that you see now. But we know because strategically, Satan's kingdom has been mobilizing and taking over areas, bit by bit by bit. To right now, where we're at right now, he doesn't care whether they're exposed or not because they are strategically in position. Are you listening? So what's happening now, because Satan's army has been mobilized on the north, south, east, and west, and they are trying to crush the body of Christ. I'm going to share with you one of the reasons why here in a minute. And remove the body of Christ. They're trying to remove Jews and Christians. That's their focus and point, because they carry the truth and they carry the river of life. Do you understand that? And in this, one of the things that Satan doesn't want to do is end up in the battle of Armageddon. He doesn't want to go there. So he'd like to be able to destroy everything before he gets there. Hello. But I'm going to tell you something very important. That there is a mobilizing of the army of God. There is a mobilizing going on that is powerful. And in this, because we are river children, we are children of light, we get our life from the river of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 133, it is good for my brethren, for brethren to dwell in unity. And it talks about the anointing coming down the head and the beard and the garment of Aaron, which is representation of God's presence. And he says, and there the command comes forth, life forevermore. So this is where it's so important about being wise virgin, one who stays filled with the Spirit, so you can strategically be positioned. Positioning is everything. We are fighting for position. We've talked about this. But I want you to begin to step back and begin to look in the area of the mobilization of Satan's kingdom. But God, I'm telling you right now, is mobilizing his army quicker and faster than ever before. It's like drive-through. People are getting delivered, healed, filled, and dressed and armed. Boom, they're gone. Because there's an urgency right now. And in this, Satan's kingdom doesn't care whether they know or they're no longer hiding anymore. Because they've blinded enough people where they can come out now. They've what? Blinded enough people where they can come out now. So those who can see now have a fight that's going on, and it's amazing to those who can see how many people are blinded. I mean, sometimes it's overwhelming. You know, you just want to bop somebody in the head. You know, what's the matter for you? But there's that mobilizing of the army of God in such a move. And it's strategic, and it's fighting, and it's positioning, and it's dying, and it's... But it's fun. Because there isn't anything greater than to do the will of God. But you got to understand again, and you've heard this over and over, the Bible also tells us that many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So there are many individuals also who've been moved out of position in the army of God. And it doesn't mean that God has given them up or quit on them. What he does is he allows them to go in another position. But see, they were trained for a specific position. See, you're being trained for something specific. There's a purpose you are being trained for. And the only way to fulfill your call is to stay in position where God has trained you to fulfill that purpose. Does everybody understand that? So you're being trained. Everybody's being trained. We go to Holy Ghost boot camp. Then we go to officers training school. Then we go to special tax strategies and tactics and so forth. And we learn special weapons. And we learn how to fight spiritually. We learn how to worship. We learn how to surrender. We're learning all of these areas. But God, understand something, that much is given, much is required. So there's that area now that in immobilization, we must be able to endure and wait, trust, But God is moving so rapidly and so quickly, and he's raising up warriors. Such warriors. Just like that song that we were singing, they're faceless and placeless warriors, that their concern is they carry the reverence of God. Do you understand that? And those who truly carry the reverence of God, truly care, they're not going to do things that are going to interrupt what God is doing. They're not going to do things to offend God, because their main purpose and that reverence to him is he's first. He's first. And second is that we do his will. Is everybody okay? So I want you to get a view of what's going on in this, in the periods of time with Jehoshaphat, with the army all around, and God is raising up his army. He's raising up a standard right now. And if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, hallelujah, mobilizing the army of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who are able to teach. That word teach now means train others also. To what? Train others. Training others. See, so your example is to train others. What God has given you, you're to train somebody. You therefore must endure what? Hardship as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. That's divine requirements. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So we see here that there's an area of training. There's warfare. There's a competing according to divine requirements or divine order. And we must get understanding of these things so that a foundation can be established as a soldier of the Most High God. In other words, one of the things that we always want to maintain is the fear and reverence to God. So that means how you treat people. How do you treat people? Well, if you're reverencing God, you're going to treat them good. Of course, don't be just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be run over by some demon. You call a demon when it's a demon. Go to chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching, which means training. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So he was telling us, he was warning us. Are you listening? He was warning us that there'll be those who will not be able to handle the sound doctrine, but they will take heed of doctrines of demons or selfish ambitions. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth. And be turned aside to fables, rumors. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought. I have what? Fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. In other words, I've continued to do what God wanted me to do. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance. So we see here that there is a fight also as a good soldier, and it is the fight of faith. It is a spiritual fight, isn't it? And remember, we talked before about our fight is actually a fight of position, staying positioned. But God is mobilizing his army in every area. He's giving strategies and tactics and how to infiltrate the kingdom of darkness. And even in the area of taking their money. Are you listening? I said taking their money. Because the Bible is, the word is being fulfilled that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Now, it didn't say it would come to the righteous. It said it's laid up for the righteous. So you need to go get it that it's laid up. Ezekiel 37. Says that the heavenlies are taken by force. Not by wimps. That's why we fight. We're soldiers in an army. We're in the eternal army, not a temporary one. The temporary one, people die. The eternal one, we're already dead. But yet we live. Why? Because you're dead to yourself. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. No anointing, man. No life. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. I remember God used to do that to me, and I'd say, you know. Then finally he said, oh no. No, I want an answer now. I'd say, okay. He'd ask me, what would you do, guy? And I used to say, well, Lord, whatever you want to do. No, you've been through your training now. I want an answer. And I would give him an answer. And he'd either correct me in certain things or add to it. But he didn't rebuke me for the answer. Does everybody understand? Why? Because he's so cool, you know, he just changes it so that you get understanding. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. How many of y'all know that we were dry bones at one time? And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. For I was once lost and dead, but now I am found and alive in the Spirit. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them, no anointing, no life. Remember, the anointing is life. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly what? Great army. So I want you to get something quickly here, is that the great army is anointed. It isn't a religious army. It's an army that is anointed from God Almighty. Why? Because your purpose and my purpose is to bring heaven on earth. Hello? And he said to me, Son of man, these bones Are the whole house of Israel, they indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Well, every one of us felt that way at one day. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. The army of God is anointed. Has everybody got it? It's not religious. You and I have been brought from the grave because we were dead. We were spiritually dead, and the grave has been opened up. Now, we know that's going to physically happen one day, isn't it? But spiritually, you and I were dead. And he rose us up. And the Holy Spirit came upon us, and we got filled with the Spirit and baptized and became a part of the army. And now we have a job to do. We have training, and we need to train others. Is everybody okay? Go to Revelation 16. Mobilizing the army of God. Revelation 16. Let's start at 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl, read it with me, on the great river Euphrates. And its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of what? Demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Now, again, I want you to understand something. The devil thinks he wants to avoid this Armageddon battle. He wants to try and destroy everything before this occurs. Because he knows, believe me, he knows the word. He knows he's going to be chained and bound. You think, you know, he's going to like that? No. So he's going to try to avoid this. That's why his army is, his mobilization is being exposed more and more and more. That's why there's a lot of delusion. That's why there's a lot of blindness. He's trying to avoid the army of the Battle of Armageddon. He believes that he can destroy mankind before then. And then he can escape. The devil thinks to get the whole world behind him, he can defeat God. Are you listening? He thinks if he can get the whole world behind him, he can defeat God. And then he can destroy the world. Again, I want to share with you that Judaism and Christianity are representatives of truth. So he is mobilizing his forces with wealth. He's mobilizing his forces with wealth and religion. He's mobilizing his forces with the arena of wealth and religion. In other words, he's trying right now to disarm every area that would cause a threat to him and turn it over to those who are willing to serve him with wealth and religion. Are you listening? Because he is a religious fanatic. He's impeding agendas to disarm and to enslave mankind globally, to strip them from their wealth, their protective arms, real estate and possessions, and the freedom to choose. His purpose is to strip mankind from their wealth so he can take it for his purposes, their arms of protections, which we have a right to bear arms, real estate, and possessions and the freedom to choose. Are you listening? So what is he doing? He is strategically positioning and preparing to try to avoid Armageddon. So if he can get going right away as quick as possible and bring down everything, he doesn't have to get to Armageddon because he knows he's going to lose the battle, even though ignorantly he believes if he can get the world behind him, he can win. But he'd rather avoid that battle. Does everybody get this? Go to Revelation 19. In verse 11. See, it's already written. We already know the end. But, you know, Satan's been trying to change it for many years. In verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, hallelujah, that spiritual army, clothed in white linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his side, or on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their army. So you see the armies of the earth and the armies of heaven gathered together to make war against him who sat on the throne against him. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So that's the end result, isn't it? That's what we know is going to happen at the Battle of Armageddon. So you got to understand something, that the devil doesn't want to get there. Even though he believes if he can get the world behind him, he has an opportunity or a chance to win. But what is written is already done. Has everybody got it? It's already done. But we see here just as this mobilization of Satan's army, but God is mobilizing his army. Thank God that the word says he who's in us is greater than he who's in the world. And that no weapon formed against us can prosper. So in this, there's that spiritual battle and there's that fight that you and I must maintain in every area. And it's about being filled with the Spirit, isn't it? Drinking from the river of life so we can give life. Hello. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. You're in the army of the Lord. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. Now the Bible says that many will fall from the faith in the latter days, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So there's something you're going to have to maintain, faith. And faith is to be able to see spiritually, isn't it? By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the what? Aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned and they were sawed in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And you thought, we got it bad? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So there's something we're going to need to do. We're going to need to endure and maintain faith, no matter what's going on all the way through. And I want to share something with you. I want to read this little commentary, because it says, the fact that others were tortured and suffered in various other ways indicates that faith does not provide an automatic exemption from hardships. Does everybody hear this? It doesn't provide an automatic exemption from hardships. There is no 501c3 exemption from hardships, trials, or tragedy. Furthermore, the experience of such difficulties does not mean that the people undergoing them possess less faith than those who do not or have not been affected. The same faith that enables some to escape trouble enables others to endure it. The same faith that delivers some from death enables others to die victoriously. Faith is not a bridge over troubled waters, but a pathway through them, discerning the pathway and the source of any hardships encountered requires aggressive prayer and worship. Through these means, God's perspective becomes focused. Yeah, so I have great faith. Great. It doesn't stop you from having hardships. It doesn't mean the devil's going to back off from you and never try to touch you or cause you to stumble. So don't be discouraged when you're attacked. Rejoice, because blessed are those who are persecuted for his name's sake. Go to Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12. In verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. See, one of the things the enemy always wants to do is say, oh man, you don't have faith, this and that. No, you have faith to endure. That doesn't mean difficult times won't come. But it means that you'll do it through faith. Why? Because faith is being able to see spiritually. It's a rope that you hold on to so you can see. It's tangible. It's substance. And then you put the skis on and God pulls you right through. Yeah. Because he's your source, isn't he? In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, and war broke out in where? Heaven, in the spiritual realm. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So that means God kicked them out of his presence there. In the realm where they used to dwell, they're no longer dwelling. So I want to tell you where they're dwelling. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast where? To the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to what? To death. So they were cast to the earth. They set their kingdom up. But God sending his army and commander Jesus, hello, has caused havoc to Satan's army. So that they are being exposed more and more. The mobilizing of God's army is moving swiftly and globally. Remember, it's to expose and tear down and cast out. It's to what? Expose, tear down, and cast out. It's to what? Expose, tear down, and cast out. Now, I want to share something real quick because about the mobilization of Satan's army and how exposure is happening more and more and more. You know, they just had Islamic Day in the White House. Obama canceled the National Day of Prayer service traditionally held at the White House. But the Islamic prayer day last week at the White House was upheld. For Obama to continue as our president is an insult to our founding fathers and all Americans. If you question, I mean, and there's a picture here, and it was sent to me on a website, and he took off his shoes and began to worship Allah. So I want you to get a full understanding of how Satan's kingdom is being revealed more and more. Are you listening? And there's a book called The Sword of the Prophet by Serge Travaca, something like that. But anyways, this email was sent to me. When I saw it, it blew my mind. Because things are just getting worse and worse, aren't they? But I want you to understand that there's more and more exposure. And there he is, taking his shoes off, getting ready to kneel down with everyone else to worship Allah. You know, the demon. This is the president of the United States who renounces his country as being Christian but will promote Islam, which is the religion, hello. And if you read the book that they have, it talks about killing every Jew and Christian. That's their purpose. Are you listening? So we know here that there is a problem, isn't there? And I know that there's many Muslims that are just deceived and don't know because they really haven't read the book. But they go through the rituals thinking whatever and so forth. But if they really read their Quran, they would realize that it's a hypocritical book that talks about murder and killing and receiving a different reward when they go home. Hello. And it's all about lust. And it's receiving a reward when they go home that women serve them. But I thought we were all made equal. So understand that our president, who rejected the National Day of Prayer, has accepted the Islamic Day of Prayer and took his shoes off and prayed with them also. And this was being exposed. And when this came to me, see, I was going to do another teaching. It was on my heart. And when this came to me, and I've been hearing this, the mobilizing the army of God, and I've been hearing it for a few days, but there was something else that was on my heart that the Lord gave me, I think, Sunday. And so I thought he was going to go to that today, but he chose not to. And then when this came, I said, oh, okay, so this is what you're talking about. But he was sharing with me about the mobilizing of Satan's army being more and more exposed. And they're just willing to come right out now because he knows his time is short. So he's trying to get what he can get right now. He's trying to move as quick as possible so he doesn't have to get to Armageddon. Is everybody okay? In Ephesians chapter 4. Now we know that, you know, these are demonized individuals. These aliens, these demons possessing hosts, they're becoming hosts for Satan's kingdom. And they don't even know it. Some of them do, but some of them don't. They just think that they're doing a good cause. Well, their cause is not the cause of Christ, it's the cause of Satan. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Would you read it? Is everybody there? And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping or the what? Training of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, which means the fullness of the anointing. Why? Because we are river children. But we are from the army of the Lord. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or trickery of men. Unfortunately, those who have been drinking from the river, who've claimed to be believers, have been tricked by men. They've become blinded and cannot see right in front of them the mobilization of Satan's kingdom coming out of closets, have taken position in governments, in the financial system, and proclaiming now to be the religious priests of darkness. They can't see it. They're now compromising. My own brothers and sisters, although they're not my brothers and sisters, because those who do the will of God are my brothers and sisters. Associates. They have now taken heed to the voice of stranger, and many have fallen from the faith. And it grieves my spirit. And one part I'm frustrated and angry. How stupid can you be and still breathe? And the other part, my heart cries out for them and prays for them that they will come to their senses and the scales will be removed from their eyes and the hardening from their heart, because it's God's desire that they, all men, be saved. But I also look at that in the arena now, that others have to work harder because of picking up the slack that the rest of the body of Christ is supposed to be fulfilling in their function, but they're not doing it. So others have to work harder and longer, just like Paul and the apostles did, until they were gathered more and continued to pass down the message of truth. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Verse 15. But speaking the what? Truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. There's still much immaturity in the areas of people who have been believers for even 20 and 30 years. They've never grown up yet. I'm talking spiritually. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. See, because they're not willing to do what they're supposed to be doing, it's not causing growth. So we must pick up what they're not doing. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness of covetousness, let it not even be named among you as it is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not even fitting, but rather giving to thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And you have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. So are you light? Then you're going to expose. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Yes. We'll be an army that imitates Christ with trust, faith, truth, fruits and love, power, and signs. Signs. Why? Because everyone you come across, you'll be able to impart something to leave a legacy of truth. Just like what Jesus did with his disciples, and so will you. But that depends on you, where you're at, where you stand. Whether you are imitator of Christ and the anointing, or your imitations are of the flesh. Whether you're one who reacts to everything, or one who responds according to the will of God. You're either a fighter or a runner, a wimp or a warrior. You're either part of the army of God that's willing to be in place where God wants you and fulfill your call, or you go the dictates of your heart's desires and follow blessings instead of the Spirit. You know, there are people who will follow blessings thinking it's always of God instead of the Spirit. How many of y'all know the devil will bless you? He'll bless you. You blessed me for a long time out there. Blessed me with all kinds of stuff. I killed many people. With all the dope and all the money I had, I killed many people. People overdosed, destroyed families, you name it. I didn't know the word blessed. I thought I was just lucky. And I was lucky because I was under Satan's rule. And the word luck comes from the name Lucifer. So you're not lucky anymore. Hallelujah. I'm blessed now. But it's not about materialism. It's about blessings with his presence. It's about blessing with the riches of revelation. It's about the blessings of freedom and no more torment. It's about the blessings that I know where I'm going. That's the greatest blessing. It's a blessing to be joyful all the time. It's the blessing of being able to cast your cares upon the one who created you. It's a blessing that when our families and our parents and spouses and everyone has forsaken us, the blessing is that he never forsook us. And when no one else forgave us, he forgave us. Oh, hallelujah. It's a blessing to know that you are a part of an eternal family now, not a temporary one. Judges chapter 7. Yes. Judges chapter 7. Mobilizing the army of God. In verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Let Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So he had too many people to go fight in this battle. And the Lord says, wait a minute. You guys are going to take all the credit. This ain't going to happen. You need to unload some of these dudes. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. So there was 32,000 soldiers or people that were going to go fight. And he asked, which one of you are afraid and like to return to your families? So 22,000 left, and 10,000 stayed. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. Yeah. The what? The water. Did I ever tell you that the river of life will test you too? And I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you, and whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, and the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, and every man to his place. See, what was happening was God was testing them at the water. He was testing them. Some of them, understand, the ones that lapped, they still held on to their swords. The other ones who got on their knees put their swords down and began to drink the water. See, they were more interested in fulfilling. They were more interested in fulfilling their flesh instead of keeping an eye out on everything else. Do you understand that? And the Bible tells us that we're to have the high praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand. Those were the same people, the 300 warriors that were with Gideon at the water. Does everybody see that? Oh, glory. Mobilizing the army of God. We know that there's mobilization in marketplaces. We know that there's mobilization now in news medias and music and books. Internet businesses, even God, as you see some of the people coming up and rising up, and government officials that used to be quiet and are now standing up. Teachers. There's two basic parts of those who go to battle for God in the army. There are those who go to battle and those who support the battle. Are you listening? There are those who go to the battle and those who support the battle. In other words, if you remember when King David went and everybody was being tormented by Goliath, and what was King David bringing? Food. So he was supporting the battle. But when he got up there, he said, who's this big idiot that's defiling God's army? And he tried to put on Saul's full armor, but he couldn't. See, you can't wear nobody else's armor. You got to wear your own. So there are those who go to battle and gather, and there are those who are devoted to support and intercede. But then, of course, there are those who do both. There are those who do it all. They support, they go to battle, and they intercede. And I believe that that's what God is calling us to do also. We are to do it all to pick up the slack that others are not doing. There are those who trained with specific weapons of abilities to infiltrate, and the purpose of infiltrating is to expose. They're to expose and to tear down. Now, let me share something with you, very important, because those who are in battle, the most effective warriors are the most disciplined. The most effective ones are the most disciplined. God's army is out to fight, but we're out to fight to give life, not take it. We're out to fight for His presence, not gifts. Hello? We're out to fight to heal and to free and not to conquer or control people. Has everybody got it? We are more than conquerors in the battles against the powers of darkness. But we're not out to conquer people or control people. These battles are fought with spiritual weapons in the spiritual realm through spiritual people. Mobilization is established by obedience and not fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, mobilizing the armor of God. You know, so many things, if you've seen the news or papers or you just see what's going on globally, there's so much of Satan's kingdom being exposed. I mean, their agendas, you can just see it's being exposed everywhere. It's globally. They're mobilizing and they're coming in every area now. So God's army's got to arise and stand up. In verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is what? Fulfilled." Mobilization will take spiritual weapons of discipline. How do you, I don't know if you know this or not, but one of the spiritual weapons is humble. Why? Because the cloak of humility, the fear of God, a submissive will, a surrendered life, patience, endurance, trust. Trust. Faith. Of course, we know faith is spiritual sight. A full armor of God. Righteous boldness of the tongue. The Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. But it's a righteous boldness of the tongue. And loud praise of the lips. Hallelujah. You want me to repeat them? Mobilization will take spiritual weapons of discipline, fear of God, humble spirit, submissive will, surrendered life, patience and endurance, trust, faith, full armor of God, righteous boldness of the tongue, and loud praise of the lips. Hosea chapter 5. Hosea chapter 5. That song keeps running me. "In the army of the Lord." In verse 5. I mean, chapter 5 and verse 10. "The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment. Because he willingly walked by what? Human precepts. Human precepts. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness." Human precepts allow the eating of rottenness. Does everybody understand that? In other words, we allow the devil to access human precepts. In other words, if you're living according to human precepts and not spiritual precepts, you're not living in the Spirit. If you're living according to everything that humanity has to offer instead of what God has to offer, you're not walking in the Spirit. And the devil will get access to you and steal and begin to eat everything. In Galatians chapter 5. If you're living according to human precepts, you're in the wrong army. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, human precepts. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are what? Not under the law. What's the law? Human precepts. Has everybody got it? Now watch this. Go to verse 4. Would you read it with me? You have become what? Estranged from Christ, the anointing. Why? You have attempted to be justified by law. You have fallen from what? Grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. Does everybody see this? So we see here, by living according to human precepts, you nullify yourself. One of the things we don't want to do is disqualify ourselves in the things of the Spirit. Is everybody with me? You don't want to disqualify yourself for any good work according to the things of the Spirit. So we don't want to be nullified in anything of God so that we maintain the things in the Spirit and release ourselves from, relinquish ourselves from the human precepts. The law is a representation of human precepts. Has everybody got it? Remember in Luke chapter 4, let's go there for a second. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Say it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's why you're called. That's the army of the Lord, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's the anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. And I'm going to close at 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. So as you are seeing more and more the mobilization of Satan's army coming forth, understand that there's more and more of God's army mobilizing that's coming forth. And the reason why you're seeing more of it is because God's army is exposing it. Because light exposes darkness. So you're seeing more and more. It's like, man, what's up? They're just coming out of everywhere. Like they don't even give a hoot. But they have no choice because they're being exposed. Because God's mobilizing His army in all places globally, and light is exposing darkness. In verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or the life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Wow. So all things are manifest. Manifest. The criteria of mobilization is to expose or manifest. Has everybody got it? You know, if we don't gain it, we lose it. It's just like things that God has given you. If you don't use it, you lose it. For us now, if we don't gain it, we lose it. So we're either taking ground or losing ground. So no matter where you're at, whether it's your workplace, your play place, whatever it is, wherever you go, that's why you're the bind the strong man before you enter, so that you can plunder the goods of the evil one. A warrior is a first attacker. He doesn't attack after he's attacked. He always attacks first. So you're to do your warfare. You're to do your intercession. You're to stay filled with the Spirit. You're to be trained up to fight. If you're, I hate saying this, but I'm telling you that if you're not in a place that's not training people to fight, get out of there. And find a place where you're being trained up to fight. This is not about prosperity. Are you listening? It's just not about planting seeds. It's an area about, Jesus said that we're to go out and what? Signs will follow those who believe. Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. Speak with new tongues. The reason why there's so much chaos in the body of Christ is people don't know how to fight. I know myself. As I was brought up in tradition, I never knew anything about casting out a devil. I didn't know about binding and loosening. I didn't know about the weapons of God. I didn't know about God's name and his blood and his word. I didn't know about these things. I didn't know anything about that. But yet I was beaten and tormented. I believed that there was a God, but I never met Jesus. But there are people who have received the seed of salvation and have lost it within weeks later because they've exchanged the seed of salvation for the pleasures of the world, because nobody's taught them how to fight. See, if you know how to fight, you'll stay in position. Not saying that the devil can't convince you, but if you're not filled... See, this is where, if you're filled with the Spirit, that's why you fight for His presence. No matter what, it has nothing to do with how you feel. It's being disciplined. Hello? See, people are wanting the reward then. If you'll stay disciplined, you will have victory. Because victory doesn't come without a battle. Amen? God is mobilizing His army. Fight for position and stay in there. No matter what it is. Learn or you'll burn. And fight no matter where. Sanctify that place of your work. Warfare, anoint everything. Pray over cookies and bring them into people. They may eat something sweet, but they can wake up delivered the next day. Use the weapons, the wisdom, and knowledge. This is not the knowledge and wisdom of the world. It's the knowledge and wisdom from above. You having trouble with somebody? Man, give them a glass of water in the name of Jesus and pray over it. You got a spouse that's out there? Pray over their pillow. You got children that are out there? Pray over their pillow. You know, there was a powerful testimony about this evangelist, and And this woman came up to him while he was doing the service and said, and gave him this candy. And he said, what am I going to do with this candy? And the woman said, would you please just put it on you, put it in your pocket while you're doing the anointing service. And he was about to say, you're crazy, lady. And the Lord said to him, put the candy in your pocket. So he put it in his pocket, didn't think anything of it. After the service, the woman came up and said, can I have my candy? He said, what are you talking about? He forgot. He goes, oh, here. A year later, he came back to that town to do another evangelistic service. And a woman came up after service to him and introduced her sister. And he said, oh, nice to meet you, this and that. She goes, you don't understand. I'm the one that gave you the candy. And he kept trying to bring it back to him. Oh, okay. He's thinking, you're the crazy one. Yeah, okay, no problem. Well, her sister was in a mental institution, and they wouldn't allow her to have anything but a little candy now and then. She took the candy, and the anointing was transferred onto the candy. When she took the candy, God delivered her and healed her, and she got released from the mental institution. That's warfare. See, we can't go by human precepts. You know, that's why we pray over the communion. We ask the Lord to sanctify and anoint the bread. There's people who have been healed by just taking communion. And it's by his stripes we're healed. There's that point of contact, which is anointed. So we got to stop this foolishness and worldly precepts and human precepts and start doing more of the things in mobilization of God's army. And learn and fight, and not just put your weapons on the side and the things that you learn and have been trained up to do. Nothing comes without a battle. Nothing. And if it comes, you better be careful. Because it could be an area where the devil is trying to get you out of position. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, and we thank you. We love you, and we exalt you, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for mobilizing your army. And Lord, we want to stay a part of the army of God. We ask you to continue to anoint us and appoint us and position us, that you would be glorified in everything that we do, just like Gideon's army. Lord, keep us praising and keep us fighting. That we may rescue our brothers and sisters who don't know and who've been taken captive by deception and delusion. And we promise to give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.